Thomas Ross Parry.
Matthew.
Stop me if you've heard this one before. Would you like a game about adventure in space?
Well, they're always good, yes. I enjoy a bit of sci-fi.
Do you like shooting guns at aliens over and over again? Clearly you do.
Yes, I do.
Would you like to fulfill...
I feel like I've played this game already.
Really? Well, let's get into it. It's Tom and Matt Attack. What do you mean, Tom? It's an exciting new release.
Yeah.
Played it before?
I've played a similar game.
Yeah?
Similar title.
Did it let you fulfill your true calling? Did it let you achieve your preordained goals in life?
No.
Did it let you fulfill your destiny?
No.
Well, you can not do it all over again. Yeah, weirdly, Tom Parry, when you and I podcasted last, this last Sunday, it is now Saturday, the following week.
Fairly consistent for us.
Yeah, exactly. Two in a row. Get in. Did I mention at all that I might be picking up a game by Activision Bungie called Destiny 2?
I was very surprised when you did, yeah. Based on your previous experiences and what you've said to me about Destiny.
And what were those, Tom? If you can... Drum
you got
up.
A bit fed up with it, didn't you?
Yeah.
There wasn't much there, really.
That I pretty much, after binging it about a week, had done everything in the
and
game.
And then did you feel a bit bitter about that and decide not to buy the expansions because of that initial experience?
Yes and no. I didn't buy the expansions because I felt that there was... very little content in that game, and the season pass was very expensive.
You know what that sounds like? Star Wars Battlefront.
No. And here's the thing. Because I enjoyed Destiny 1. I played Destiny 1 awful long time. Battlefront was a beta test for Battlefront 2 that had all of the guns were all of the same gun, but they just fired at different rates.
I would agree with you, Matthew. Destiny was a much better game than Star Wars Battlefront.
Yes, Destiny also had a campaign.
Yes.
And I did play Destiny for probably about 80, 90 hours. In fact, there's a website called timewastedondestiny.com that I could go on and check that out.
I only really played Destiny once the Taken King had been released.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You picked it up cheap and you wouldn't
get it. Well, actually, I picked the game up cheap as it was on its own.
Yeah.
And then I bought the game again.
Yeah,
digitally, because it was
cheap. Yeah,
because
you'd picked it up on the last gen, right? You picked it up on the Xbox 360.
I picked up Destiny 3 times in total.
Yes. Okay.
I bought it on the 360, and then I bought it on the PS4, and I bought it again digitally on the PS4 with everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the second time I bought Destiny, it was like a fiver or something.
Okay.
And then that third time, maybe it was about, at the most, £30 for everything.
Okay.
And me and Gareth... had a lot of fun with that game. We would play it nearly every Thursday, but we both kind of came to a natural kind of conclusion that we were done with Destiny.
Fair enough.
Kind of like, you get to a point, we've sort of had enough of it.
Yeah.
And it sort of has its issues with a narrative which you don't care about.
Yeah.
Have they at least improved this in Destiny 2?
Well...
Or is it as incomprehensible as it was the first time round?
I wouldn't say that. I will say before I do this that on Time Wasted on Destiny, it's just wastedondestiny.com. Unfortunately, I can't see my stats for Destiny 2. But as I only bought the game on Monday, I think it's a bit ill-conceived to say I've perhaps played 20 hours at the absolute maximum.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've even played that because I've only really played it for 3 days. So probably about 15, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I did beat the campaign. But Destiny 1, I played 455 hours.
Mm, that was just the original game.
Yeah, which I would say is my 30 quid's worth or whatever it was.
You got your value for money. I think it's probably more than 30 quid and you bought it though, wasn't it? You bought it new.
I bought it the day it came out, but yeah. I bought it back in a glorious time here in Denmark, Tom Parry, where a shop called Fauna existed. Oh, and they would actually sell games at like the same price as Amazon. Unfortunately, that's not the world we live in now. And admittedly, I did pick up Destiny 2 for only 400 krona, which is actually...
Because Elgiganten is the next best place.
Elgiganten, weirdly, on their website, said they were charging 500 krona, which is, for the UK listeners, about 55 quid. Probably about like $80, $90 for you people in the States, because that's how much games cost in Denmark.
Can we ask if we have been listeners in the States?
Yeah, that'd be nice to know. I know we did once upon a time, but you know.
Because if we don't, then we might as well not...
mention that again, the dollar value. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, I didn't actually apply the math. I guessed. Maybe I'm way off. Maybe it's like $120.
We'd love to know, and then that will, you know.
Exactly. Correct me on Twitter, at TMAcast, and then I'll at least know there's American listeners.
Because we do care about getting our information right.
We do, yeah. Well, somewhat. Anyways, the campaign of Destiny 2 revolves a lot around the... Oh, shit, what are they called? Like, Cade 6 and...
Oh, some of those characters that are in the...
I believe they're in Taken King, right?
Yeah, yeah. What they just hang around, don't they? In the tower. In the tower. Sorry,
yes.
I could not remember what that place was called now. Yeah, you know, you go to them and you get missions and things, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, those people are involved in it, and minor spoilers for the start of Destiny 2, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think the story is out there. I think it has been mentioned in trailers. Essentially, you start the game and the Cabal raid the tower and then they start killing people.
Which one
of
the Cabal?
The Cabal are the people you fight, I believe, on Mars. The big, bulky,
brute dudes. Yep.
The brutes from Halo.
Yeah, big dudes.
And you get run out of there and they trap the Traveler. Oh, no. And they take away everyone's light. So essentially, the whole thing of the campaign is, oh, man, if you die, you die for about like a mission and then you get your light back and then you're the only guardian who can do anything. I will leave it there. You would be surprised at how little that actually affects the story overall, I would say.
What was the premise of Destiny? There was this, the Traveler.
Right, so there's the Traveler. He came along, he made humankind and everyone else amazing. And unfortunately, the Traveler is the yin to the yang of what I believe is called the Darkness. And the Darkness eventually found the Traveler. And I believe the Fallen are the army of Darkness, for lack of a better description.
Yeah.
They are like the first wave of this impending darkness that is going to come to humanity.
Yeah.
And so there's a big war. Everyone dies. The Traveler imbues people with light who are like the amazing warriors, and then they become guardians. And the whole shtick is you can die and get brought back to life.
Oh, right. So you're just fighting evil, which is the darkness.
Yes. So you are literally fighting darkness itself, and you are imbued with light.
Yes.
See how they did that? Age-old concept, worked very well.
Mm, there are other races involved, aren't there? Other warring factions.
There's the Cabal, there's the Vex, there's the Fallen. I think that's it. Oh, there's also the Hive, who were kind of like the Fallen. But
who were the main ones?
The Fallen.
They were the Fallen.
Yeah. You know, the people who look a lot like elites from Halo. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are the Fallen. Vex are the robot people, Cabal are the brutes, and then the Hive are the Flood.
Mm. You know what I'd like? A more focused Destiny, like a Halo game, but in Destiny universe.
Well, they kind of do that with Destiny 2.
Do they?
Yeah, they do. So, the game, very much in the same style as Destiny 1, sees you going out to planets, doing missions. They've done some real nice quality of life stuff around it, so you don't have to go to orbit every single time and spend 7 minutes loading your planets in. You can hold down the touchpad on the PlayStation controller, I guess, is, I'm not sure what it, the equivalent would be on the Xbox One. And then you go to like a map screen and then you can quickly flick through destinations. They've also introduced fast travel, which at least wasn't in vanilla Destiny to my knowledge. So you can also dot around the map and quickly get to public events without the need for a sparrow. Because you don't get one until the very end of the story.
Yeah, I've heard this.
Which is a bit annoying. Though you can get one, luckily, through drops.
That's right.
I never did.
Yeah.
So I had to walk for the first, like,
that's
10 hours.
Strange
of the game.
Decision, really.
Yeah, very
weird.
It
was always a very handy thing to have.
Yes.
And to take it away seems like a step backwards.
Yes and no. Right, so the big open worlds in which Destiny takes place, and you see other players in these big sandboxes. A lot of the campaign missions are very linear in
so
terms
not
of,
the big open
hey, you're
areas.
In a big contained area, and when you're in a big open area, and you're not really going to be riding around on your sparrow anyway.
Mm.
That being said, to get to those campaign missions, like me playing through them, did not level me up enough to actually do them, meant that I had to go and do patrols, meant that I had to go and do things, because strikes aren't available until you're level 14. Mm. So I couldn't do like the multiplayer online fun components. I had to just mooch around in the world and get better gear and level up and then do that.
Well, at least that was pleasurable to do, I imagine, because I imagine it has the same tight controls as
it
original
does.
Destiny.
It's very good to play. The thing I always like about Destiny is it does kind of, they give you a new gun and you're like, oh yeah, but I really like using hand cannons. Oh well, I guess I'll be using a pulse rifle for a little while. Or I guess I'll be using
the pulse rifle, actually.
I'm kind of okay with it. Yeah. I mean,
I like the more...
A pulse rifle
machine gun
is
type ones,
the the submachine gun.
Yeah, I think I just
the submachine gun's all right. To be honest, I'm a hand cannon auto rifle man, so I like
auto
having my auto rifle.
Yeah, I quite
which,
like the auto rifle.
Believe it or not, is the equivalent of the auto rifle in Halo.
Yes.
The pulse rifle is a battle rifle, and as someone who religiously played Halo 2, I really like that.
Mm.
The scout rifle is then more like Halo 3's scout rifle, evidently by the name. But hand cannons for me remind me very much of the Magnum from the first Halo game. There's just something very satisfying about having like an 8 or 9 shotgun.
But all these
headshots.
Things were in the original Destiny, weren't they?
Yes, they
are
were.
Are there any new weapons
that
are a different type or a different feel?
Swords are now very much a thing that you can have.
Oh, like a plasma sword in Halo. Does it work the same way?
No, kind of more like, you know, when you played Destiny and there were the odd moments, I believe in The Taken King, where you would go in third person and wield a sword.
Yes, you got a sword. Yes,
yes.
You did. The Sword of Crota.
Yes.
Or the, is it?
I believe
yes,
it's the
I think
Sword
it
of Crota.
Is. Yes, Crota.
Wow, that's amazing that you remember that.
The Hand of Crota.
The Hand of Crota, yeah.
I remember
you kill the Hand of
Crota
and you nick his sword on the moon.
So
they become a weapon. So you actually have swords. And believe it or not, there is actually some depth to the swords. If you have a big, chunky, like, broadsword, you play more like a barbarian, and it's all about, like, big swings. They take longer. Mm. There's a samurai sword, which has you kind of running around like a ninja.
Okay.
And I also believe there's another kind of, like, thinner blade, which is more like fencery.
Right,
but I haven't really played around with the swords, to be honest, because I like shooting things.
Is there nothing as satisfying as the plasma sword in Halo, though? I always used to love that.
Mean,
the uppercut kind of
you're not
going to
fly across the map and smack someone in the face.
Oh,
that's
memories.
There is like a fusion pulse rifle thing I had, which kind of has a bit of a charge shot, which I don't really remember for Destiny. But that's about it. And I mean, yes, there are new skins to the enemies. The weird like jackal ripoffs from Halo that are part... The very thin, snipery dudes now look really cool. They kind of look a bit like Chaos... from Warhammer. They're like black and red and they have these big Skype helmets.
And these are the guys which you'd pick off at the beginning of Destiny.
Yes.
Spindly
Yes,
chaps.
The spindly chaps. But now they're kind of... They're more of a hard-to-kill enemy. Like, they go down very easily, but they always tend to be at very far ranges and they have very accurate, very powerful shots.
So they've got that same sort of character, because that was also a thing that was very nice about Halo, wasn't it? Each enemy had a very unique character and they acted differently.
Yes.
And these guys still have a very unique
characters. Course. I mean, like...
Just like in Destiny 1, I imagine.
Depending on the silhouette, kind of, you know what you're getting up
against. Yeah, how they move and such, like those... the ghostly ones, which are
the Hive.
The Hive.
Oh, are you talking about the wizards, the big?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about the variety of the enemies was always a strength of Destiny. Yes. I guess we've got the same enemies then.
They have. I don't. Yeah. Do you remember the Cabal, the big bulky guys, having dogs?
No, I don't remember having dogs.
So they have dogs. I don't think. So essentially, they act very much like the Thrall, which are the little creepy dudes that look a bit like Frieza from Dragon Ball Z on the side of the Hive. You know, remember when you go on the moon and it's like, oh no, we've awoken the Hive.
Oh, yeah.
And I can say that line because that's how I farmed all my engrams.
Oh, no. Yeah, that big door that opens and they all run out. Yeah,
men. Well, the dogs are kind of like that. They act in very much the same way. They release them in a big pack and you get the Thrall guy pointy.
It's really interesting to have this conversation about Destiny and be a little bit nostalgic about it.
Hey, man.
You know, it has these elements, which we're still talking about now.
Yeah. Good fucking game, is why.
It's well done.
And that's why I'm quite surprised that you were very surprised that I picked up Destiny 2.
Yes, but gameplay-wise, you know, is it really necessary? I don't know, because I feel like I'm done with it. And unless Destiny 2 is significantly different than Destiny 1, I feel like I'm not so inclined to go back there.
I would not say that it's very different from Destiny 1 in terms of gameplay. I would say there's a very coherent campaign. Mm. Though for me, to be honest, not having played The Taken King, they introduce The Taken as in like, oh God, it's The Taken! I'm like, who the fuck are The Taken? And then there's
Taken King.
Yeah, so there's like a weird like sub-pseudo line of dialogue of Ghost explaining to one of the NPC characters over the radio, like, oh God, they are the sons of the Taken King. But that's like a line. And fortunately, I was on chat with people who I know and have played Destiny 1 religiously. Mm. And they were like, oh, well, yeah, this is what happened. Remember this boss from Destiny 1? Well, his dad is the boss in Destiny 2, in Taken King, sorry. And then you do all this.
Well done for them being able to work that one out. to be honest, I switched off in cutscenes. I just want to get to the shooting because all Destiny was for me was to get from point A to point B and shoot things.
Yeah.
It's just a shooting simulator.
I don't think the cutscenes are half up their own arse as they were in Destiny 1. I think they're just like, oh, well, you know, these are the stakes. This is what we got to do. We got to go here now. This is why we're on this planet.
Mm.
That's pretty much the cutscenes. They're very quick. And I was just kind of like, where's this fucking glorious campaign I've been promised? But it does make sense. It does all make a coherent narrative.
But it's never quite had the epic feeling, say, Halo had.
No, it's because you don't really care about the main character. And I mean, the sub-characters are all just quest givers. Yeah. So they don't really matter either. And they try and give them a bit of personality.
Yeah. More so this time around, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, like, Nathan Fillion is clearly where the money went. And they're trying to, like, have him do stuff. And the Titan dude, who is a famous voice actor, at least in the realms of video games, because I recognized his voice, has some good lines, and like there's a good chemistry between those three, like the warlock and the other person from the fire team, and they keep making references to like Destiny stuff. It's like, this is my fire team, and it's like, oh, well, yes, I have a fire team too. Yeah. Do you have a clan as well? it's all a bit like self-contained, shall we say.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like looking at the sales numbers of Destiny 2, it's actually kind of got me a bit worried how long this game will have anyway, because it didn't really seem to sell as well. No. I think it's another victim Watch Dogs 2, and I'm sure the creeper that's going to smack EA in the head with Battlefront 2 is that people feel a bit burned by the first game.
I feel very burned by Battlefront, especially more so than Destiny.
Yeah, me too.
You know, but the thing is about Battlefront, does it look like there's a significant amount of improvements or new things thrown into Battlefront 2?
No. We got a campaign.
Yeah, it does feel like new things, I'm saying. I mean, the prequel stuff, the droids, the locations, there's a lot of new stuff in there.
Yeah.
And I would like to play it, and I think I'd get a lot of enjoyment out of it. It's just, you know, it's an insult when you see it there for, what, Fiverr or something. You can buy it now, everything.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? They've got this
ultimate
edition.
Yeah, I looked at it today. It was like 37 kroner.
They're practically
like,
giving it away.
Yeah. It's because they know no one's going to fucking buy it after.
Well, of course, yeah, and they're trying to get some more interest in it, I guess. But when the game costs as much as it did at launch, and then that season pass was ridiculous.
Hey, man. Cashing that game in to get Doom, one of the best decisions I ever made.
Yeah. Yeah.
I, as long-time listeners of the podcast will know, and as you know yourself, Tom Parry, I very, very rarely trade in games. Could not wait to be shot of that
and
game.
And now it's worth nothing. So
and now it's worth nothing.
It's worth nothing at all.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It is going to be the game that you will see alongside FIFA 16 in charity shops for years to come. And no one's going to want to buy it because I guess EA will probably shut off the service.
And I guess nobody will want to play it once the second one comes out.
No, of course not. Why would they?
I wonder if anyone's playing Destiny 1.
I saw an article about it on Kotaku. Yeah, a few people are.
Yeah.
It seems very hard to get into things like Nightfalls and stuff now. Mm. There is very little people playing it other than, I guess,
because supporting that as well doesn't seem like a good move, it seems like.
Well, I mean, keep the servers up. Why not? Yeah. Like, let people play it. To be honest with you, I'm kind of interested now to see if I can pick up that complete collection for under a tenner and maybe going back and trying some of those raids.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to know it's still there if I ever did want to go back to it.
Yeah.
I hope, yeah, they keep it open, but I was having some real troubles. This is not related to Destiny, but Advanced Warfare on the Xbox One.
Right.
I get booted out before the match is over, the time. And it didn't used to happen when I first started playing it. And I don't know why it is, because I have no other problems with any games online.
Maybe
troubleshooting, Matthew,
server.
Do you know?
Well,
because Gareth doesn't have any issues.
Fortunately for you, Tom Parry, I am actually part of Activision Blizzard's tech support team.
Yes, please. Can you help me with my problem?
These questions for you.
Do I need to just reset my router? Maybe it's something.
Have you tried turning your Xbox One on and off again?
Yes, I have.
Have you tried the disc in a PlayStation to ensure that it is actually a legitimate Xbox One?
Oh, you're not
going to
be any help, are you? I just thought I'd throw that
out
there.
Excuse me, I'm just trying to do my job here. I would appreciate no abuse on this phone line. Have you tried wiping the disc
with a cloth?
With a moist cloth.
With a moist cloth. No, I haven't.
Sir, can you do that now? Are you in a facility? I can also arrange for you to call us back at a selected time of your convenience.
No, you're no help. Bye.
Oh. I'm gonna get fired.
But the weird thing about it is it drops me off Xbox Live when I play it. It boots me off Xbox Live entirely during
match. Okay.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
That seems like that might be an issue. I don't know.
Anyway, that's that, and oh well.
Also, you didn't tell the tech support person that. If you are going to bring up Activision Blizzard's actual tech support, because I'm clearly out of a job.
I guess they don't care about that game anymore.
Probably not.
It's fairly old.
It is an old game, and let's be honest, I was looking at the deals on PS4, and the last Call of Duty is already £20, which is something you don't really see with Call of Duty games.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Infinite Warfare.
Maybe I should be playing that one instead. I'm just, get the cheap ones and then play them.
Yeah, I was very surprised to say, I saw it to you off the podcast last week, because I saw it when I was picking up Destiny 2. They've actually made a physical release of Modern Warfare Remastered. You can buy that in a case
a
disc.
And they said they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And then it was like £40, and now they've cut it maybe.
Yeah, well, it was like 25, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, still don't really want to pay that for it, but there we go. I mean,
still
be honest,
got its fans.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, it's a good game. Yeah. Chatting with someone in one of our colleagues, a guy called Anas, yesterday, and just saying, and I've had this conversation on the podcast before, he was telling me that he would go and play Counter-Strike and all these other games in professional tournament things around Denmark, and he knew the people who were in this Danish Counter-Strike team who were dominating the circuit, and he was just like, oh yeah, they'd win a couple of grand like every once in a while, and that was really good. And then we were just having this conversation about how it must make you a little bit sick to know in your stomach, if you were that good at Counter-Strike like 5 years before it all took off, like how much you could have made if you had just been around 5 years later, if you'd just been a little bit younger. And I've forgotten why I'm
talking about Call of Duty.
Call of Duty 4 was a game that I was pretty damn good at, and I would play, and we would compete in like magazine clan listing stuff, and we would play it religiously. Yeah. And it's a game I spent an awful lot of time on, and was pretty damn good at.
It rejuvenated the franchise, didn't it?
It did,
really?
Yeah. I mean, I was one of the few people that played Call of Duty 2 very religiously as well. We were also in a clan for that, and so when 4 came out and just exploded, I was very surprised, because Call of Duty 3 was a big pile of poo. But it is a game that I have somewhat mixed feelings about, just because I played it so damn much And I had to learn all the placements on the map. I had to learn where snipers were going to be. I had to learn, like, where is a good place if you've got a shotgun in your loadout? Where is a good place if you've got a battle rifle thingy? Like a... Yeah.
Sure. Well, they say Call of Duty hasn't really changed much, yet it has. You know, they keep saying they're selling the same game. Well, they haven't really, because Advanced Warfare was very open stages compared to, say, what came before, like Black Ops 2.
You're saying that Fallout's tagline of war never changes is actually an incorrect statement.
It does change. It has changed significantly in Call of Duty. I think even with the Black Ops 3, you know, they added that element with the characters. You pick certain characters. And then they'd already been developing it from Advanced Warfare. And I think there's still a lot to come back to in that franchise.
Yeah.
It hasn't grown stale yet, despite what many people seem to say about it.
Yeah, but like, this is the thing, right? You play Call of Duty like a sane person should.
Mm.
You do not
an
spend
hour or two.
Yeah, exactly. An week. Hour or two a week, yeah. Tops.
Yeah.
You do not live on that game. You've not played that game for God knows how many hours. I wouldn't even like to look at my timer for Modern Warfare.
Mm.
It's probably about 150, 100, the 200 hour mark.
Yeah.
It's probably somewhere in that range.
Wow.
And that's me being optimistic about how much I've played that game.
Yeah, so those people will feel a little bit more lethargic from their Call of Duty
playing. Even playing that wore me off Call of Duty. The thing that really threw me off Call of Duty, I don't know if I told you this, was when Modern Warfare 2 came out, I was so excited. Like, I'd skipped World at War because I was like, nah, I'm good with Call of Duty 2. I played World War 2. I don't need this. I don't want zombies. I want to play Modern Warfare. So I kept playing it. I went to uni. I kind of had a year and a bit where I didn't really play video games. And I would play the odd, like, Friday night Halo 3 swap match with my mate Aaron, who's one of the people who lured me back into Destiny. Mm-hmm. And that would pretty much be it. I wouldn't really play games. Every now and again, I would see something. Like, I picked up Sikoden in this period of time because I saw it in a shop and I was like, I will come back to games eventually. And when I do, I will be very glad to have Sikoden. And I was buying things here and there, but I wasn't really playing games because at the time, you know, there was alcohol and graphic design stuff to do. And then Modern Warfare came out. And it came out as I was finishing up my second year of university. And after I'd submitted, I was waiting to submit all my final stuff for the end of my year two. And so I was like, right, okay, I'll play a bit of this campaign. The campaign in Modern Warfare games is amazing. Infinity Ward, really good stories. Started playing it, really enjoying the campaign. But I didn't play any multiplayer. I was like, look, I can't fall down that rabbit. I'm gonna play multiplayer until all my stuff is done.
Yeah.
And there are a few guys in my class, Aaron was one of them, playing it and going, the multiplayer is really good. And I finished all my stuff. I was like, right, cool, I got a weekend off, I'm going home, I'm gonna chill out, I'm gonna play Call of Duty, I'm gonna have fun playing some Call of Duty. Got online, everyone had already prestiged three times in the month I hadn't played it. And I couldn't kill anyone because everyone was running around with those dual shotguns that like twirl and reload, and I died, and I kept dying, and I was just like, oh yeah, I need to actually invest like fucking 70 hours of my time to get decent weapons because this game is incredibly unbalanced. Yeah. And then I never played Call of Duty Online again.
I haven't found that in my recent experiences. I
tell a lie, I did buy Black Ops.
I started really getting into it with Black Ops 2 on the Wii U. And at that point, you know, it was very accessible to me. You know, no one seemed particularly overpowered. You could get by with using, you know, the first guns you had
and
still
be
good
at
it. Yeah. And then I haven't found it particularly difficult with Advanced Warfare either.
Yeah.
That's also quite accessible. So I haven't had that same experience as you, which I'm quite thankful for.
I mean, you did, because you played Battlefield 4.
Yeah, and also I played Battlefront, which also has had a lot of trouble with Battlefront as well, because it has that Battlefield template, I guess.
Yeah.
That,
which I will hands down give DICE the benefit of the doubt. They did fix that with Battlefield 1. And to be honest with you, playing Destiny, as tight and as good as the shooting controls were on that, at first, it felt really weird because I'd gotten used to how Battlefield 1 feels. And there is more heft in the guns.
Yeah.
And that's perhaps
Destiny
why...
Destiny always feels light, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. To be honest with you, it feels good again now.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm back up to pace with that. And using something like a hand cannon and just going bap, 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 bap is immensely satisfying. So much so I'm kind of worried of going back to Battlefield.
Mm, but you're going to be doing that. You're going to be playing that as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
Jumping in between the two.
Yeah, and that's my plan for this. Like, yeah. Get raid ready, play raids next weekend, which is what we've got planned now. Me and the people have played Destiny 1, wow. So I'll talk
so
about that
organized,
a bit on the podcast.
Aren't you?
And then it will be my sometimes game. It will be the game I dip in and out of as time goes by. As they release new raids and stuff, I'll go, yeah, cool. I'll play this raid. I'll get some gear.
So
I'll do this.
You're happy with your purchase. You're not a disappointed
No,
Matthew Boyle.
I mean, like, as I said, the season pass is like £25. Mm. And like, I'm kind of okay with that. I don't.
How is that comparable to the previous season pass? Or was there a season pass?
There was a season pass. It was the same price as the game.
Yeah.
And at the time, I felt there was not enough in that game to justify that. There was, what, like 5 or 6 strikes, 1 or 2 of the nightfalls on rotation, and the 1 raid.
It didn't really feel like a major upgrade until Taken King, did it, Destiny?
No.
Taken King was quite a big deal at the time,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. But like playing Destiny 1, like all you could really do was repeat those story missions, which had no substance for me, and I didn't really want to. And there were strikes, but they were very boring, and they felt like you were repeating a lot of stuff from the campaign.
Yeah.
At least these strikes feel a lot different. And there's also, I forgot to mention, they have things that are known as adventures now in the maps as well.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that.
So there's like banners lying around, like swords stuck in the ground, and then you can pick an adventure, and then it's like a mini side quest and fleshes out some of the character backstories. Mm. Not that I really care about that, but the shooting in them's fun.
Yeah.
Some of them can be quite tedious. But all in all, they are on the same par, I think, as the games. And from what I've seen, they are going to roll more of those out and keep them ticking along.
So I remember thinking I could always jump into, and the game actually told you that you needed to do more of these, was like the skirmish missions. I don't know what they're called now, where you just go to
patrols.
Patrols.
Yeah.
The game was always on you, do patrols, do this patrol, yeah. And all that. And that was a good way of, you know, getting some level up and such. I guess that's still a part of Destiny 2, patrols.
They are. You get...
But there was not much to patrols, was there?
No,
it's just like an open area you shoot things.
And they seem to be like a side note now. Like, there are patrols, like you do a quest to unlock patrols.
They kind of filled up the game with the patrols, and they give you something to do. They just gave you...
But to be honest with you, you kind of have patrols without having to do patrols in this. Like, there are bigger bad guys walking around with troops of enemies, and you just kind of stumble across them organically, which is nice.
I think as Destiny evolved and the expansions came out, they became less important.
Yeah, they definitely are. Yeah. Like I said, I think I've done 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Just because I was waiting around for people to play online, so...
I did wonder how it stacks up visually against original Destiny. Are there some nice improvements there?
I think it looks good. To be honest with you,
what you played, it looked similar to me.
I think I have... Yeah, but I think maybe we are suffering with that same bias... as people who played The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker on the GameCube, and then look into the Wii U one and going, yeah, it looked this good. I'm sure if you look at Destiny 1...
Well, there's a definite difference between those two games.
But I'm sure there is with this as well, because this is built for these consoles. That being said, I also believe that Taken King was, right? Like, didn't they do some call... Was Taken King on the old platforms?
I think it was. I think all that was.
Maybe Rise of Iron wasn't then. One of them wasn't. One of them made the shift to the next generation.
Hmm.
I can't remember which
one it was. Yeah, of course, if it's developed solely for the next gen, then it's going to look slightly better, isn't it?
It's also got a different engine, so but it still feels like Destiny. Mm. It's still good.
Mm. What about the music? Well, we're on the subject of Destiny.
I was... going through a story mission, and my fiance Marta was walking through, and she goes, "Wow, there's really nice music in this game." I said, "Yeah, it is."
Apparently, it's a different composer.
It is, because that guy left. But it feels like a Bungie game. Put it that way, the score feels that. Yeah. Oh, epic.
I've heard there's some more variety though in this
there
score
is.
Than the last.
There's some funky bits. There's a lot going on. Yeah, it's nice. It doesn't feel out of place with a Halo Bungie universe though.
I still think that the main Halo theme is one of the greatest, isn't it? Da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That one. Anyway, hey, I wonder if you want to talk about the Nintendo Direct.
To be honest with you, I haven't watched it.
Oh.
I've seen the highlights.
Oh,
I
know. I didn't watch the whole thing. I just watched the highlights too.
I watched the highlights of the Apple keynote, and then I felt I wasted my time doing that. Yeah. Other than that, games company's new game is coming out. It's called Sky. And it looks like Journey.
What are we talking about now? We're not talking about the
in the sky. That's That's what I took away from the Apple keynote.
Oh, the Apple one, sorry.
Yeah, they announced Sky. Yeah. I'm going to say that all the time in that way because it's all capitals in the name of the game. It looks like Journey in the Sky.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks nice. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Apple game.
It's going to be on the Apple TV, but it's also going to be on home consoles at some point, I assume. I think it's a time.
And you like the look of that?
It looks like Journey. I liked Journey.
Yeah, okay.
It looks like Journey, Tom.
What about Abzu? Did you try that? That was Journey in the Sea.
Journey in the Sea. Yeah, Journey in the Sea didn't do it for me.
Okay. Journey in the Sea didn't do it for me.
Journey in the Sea didn't do it for me as much as Journey in the Sand. I'm sure Journey in the Sky will be really good. I cannot wait for Journey in the Grass.
I'm looking forward to Journey in Space.
Oh, Journey in Space. Doesn't that exist? Isn't there a Journey in Space?
Is there?
I'm sure. There must be a Journey in Space. If not, someone's missing a trick. Think about it. You could have a little man, then he could do the little wee thing.
What's that?
You know, the jumpy up and down flappy thing
that
you
one.
Do in Journey.
Sorry. Yeah.
That was a bad impression of the noise. I can't exactly remember what it is. I remember you jump up and spin around, but I can't remember the noise.
Jump up.
And around. But you could put him in a little spaceman. You could make him look like you could make him a little cosmonaut cat. Think about it, he could just be there in his little space suit with his little ears poking out in little space bubbles.
So, if anyone's listening.
Yeah, sorry, I've been listening to a lot of a podcast called Cool Games Inc., which is about making video games.
If anyone's listening, then please just make
it. If anyone wants to make the artwork,
I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
What would you call that game? What would you call Cat Journey in Space?
Would it have to be Cat?
Well, I'm throwing the option out there. If you've got a better character in mind than a cat that would suit our millennial demographic,
well, there was a nice book I read called Space Dog. I think dogs are more.
I tried to make a comic about space dogs once.
There
with,
is one called
with a good
Space
friend Paul.
Dog, which
yeah,
is very good.
I've seen it now after the fact.
I think dogs or monkeys.
Yeah,
also
monkeys are a bit played. Monkeys is a bit, you know, it's a bit. Speciesist, isn't it? It's just like, oh, you dumb monkey, all you're good is for going into space. No, monkeys can do anything, Tom. They can open bananas.
Well, you just have to prove that.
They get emotional, they get sad when other monkeys die. I've seen that David Attenborough
great documentary. Great protagonist for a game.
Yes.
Anyhow, we're talking about Nintendo Switch, Nintendo Direct. Is that just Nintendo
Switch? Oh, yes, we were. I apologize.
There's some 3DS games coming out. Metroid's out, I guess, already, so that wasn't... So
yeah, it is.
On that.
Unfortunately, I haven't played it yet.
I kind of know what's happening with Nintendo Directs now. There's going to be something about... There's going to be a Fire Emblem game.
Yeah.
There's going to be a Xenoblade game.
Out December 1st, though.
Yeah.
Worth mentioning.
What else is there going to be? There's going to be some RPGs.
They
know,
are going...
people love RPGs.
There's going to be a sequel to a game that people gave a shit about on the 3DS that no one actually really played, other than a few people. That one this time is Dylan's Roland Reston is getting a sequel on the Switch.
I actually missed it. It's going to be something about Kirby.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely something about Kirby. If not Kirby, it'll be Yoshi.
And there'll be a big bit of Mario Odyssey.
And then they'll release one of their core franchises, and then you go, okay, cool, what haven't they done in a while? And then it'll probably be Smash Brothers.
And then occasionally they'll drop in something like Splatoon or ARMS, maybe. There's something new for ARMS. Oh, there's a thing.
Yeah. I think you can count on Nintendo for a new franchise once every 2 years.
Yeah.
ARMS was that last one. Before that,
they're still
it was
dropping
Splatoon.
Things about ARMS, though, every now and again, like in these...
Still dropping things about the 3DS. Oh, by the way, that Monster Hunter game...
It's good. I played the demo.
I have heard it described as the best Pokemon game I've ever played.
Wasn't talked about in that because it's already out.
No,
I
it
guess.
Is already
but,
out.
That's really good. I liked it. I liked the demo very much. I also thought it looked very nice on the 3DS
as
well.
I hear it is certainly pulling some weight.
I like the art direction of the game. It's very, very good.
I would be... necessarily tempted to buy it if we could convince others who are like-minded individuals to buy it
themselves. I don't really know how that multiplayer aspect of the game works yet.
I hear it's like Pokemon.
Mm.
Is the multiplayer aspect
I love the creature designs as well in it.
I mean
one thing sorry go on.
I mean I've loved the creature design in Monster Hunter is all I was gonna say,
and it actually does from I've played Monster Hunter very very little, but it does actually still feel like Monster Hunter even having only played it for a bit. Certain areas, certain things do feel very Monster Hunter-y.
Yes.
Beautiful looking game. What's I going to say about it? Interestingly, if you turn the 3D off, it doesn't look as sharp as it does with the 3D on.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
It kind of softens all the edges. And then when you turn the 3D on, it looks sharper. Funny that. But
yeah, that's weird.
There's so much on screen. It's so much depth and so much detail. putting the 3D on is a little bit like, whoa. It's a little bit too much to take in.
Okay.
But the game looks better in 3D. So I was flicking between, just when I couldn't take the 3D anymore, I turned it off.
Yeah. I'm tempted to get a new 3DS XL, even though that ship has clearly sailed, because there's a Metroid one now, and I'm like, oh, that Samus Aran console looks really nice.
Maybe, and there's that Super Nintendo one.
There is. They finally said it's coming out, and I'm like, oh,
very nice. Oh, as boy. Well. I can't say that Nintendo Direct, though, made me want to Switch anymore.
Why?
Than I did before. Because other than Mario, there's still nothing that's pushing me buttons.
Yeah, but I mean, like, this is what they're doing now. I mean, this is kind of what was brought up with the Bethesda conference. This is kind of what was brought up with E3 this year in general. Mm. Companies aren't going, hey, this game's going to come out in 2 years, mm. because people's attention spans aren't really that good. Like, think of like Cyberpunk 20, whatever it is.
Inevitably, like, there'll be great stuff that will come out eventually. But right now, that Morphe thing looked cool. Have you heard of this game, Morphe's?
No.
It's a third-person multiplayer shooter type game.
Okay.
Whereas you shoot your opponents, you can aim at certain body parts and shrink them or enlarge them.
Okay, that sounds fun.
So you get different size characters fighting against each other. And as you are winning,
you get bigger.
It's represented actually by a giant character that gets bigger in the background.
Oh, okay.
Apparently. It sort of seemed a little bit like Splatoon to me in a way.
Okay.
But it's not about covering an area with
killing people.
It is about shooting people, but there's this extra element. And if you get smaller, you can get into different places. If you get bigger, you get, I guess you get advantages as well. So this was coming from a studio, I'm not sure the name of it. It's an indie game, I think.
I would have seen
it. Nintendo were really promoting it, though, in the Nintendo Direct.
I mean, it sounds cool. To be honest with you, I haven't seen it covered in any of the news coverage.
It's like a unique game that's quite interesting. In fact, everything indie-wise with the Switch is quite exciting. I saw recently a trailer with a load of clips of upcoming indie games for Switch.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of variety in there and a lot of interesting titles.
I've heard about this game. Morphe's Law is the name of it.
That's it.
Interesting. The name rings a bell, so I'm not sure if I've just heard people at Giant Bomb talking about it, and maybe it was at PAX, or if it's got a notable development team. Looks all right. Like, seems kind of cool.
I like the concept.
I like the art style.
And
at
the moment, I think Sony is exclusive to Switch for the time being.
Switch and PC to follow some weeks later, apparently. Okay, that's all right. Are they Swiss developers? That's interesting.
They showed off a bit more of that Octopath Traveler, which, you know, it looks all right, but
yeah. Like, I have the same feelings as you. I'm just like, okay.
They were saying it's got some very unique RPG features.
I think it looks very nice. Like, that's my only thing, is it does very much feel like a Final Fantasy game of that ilk. And apparently they've learned a lot from... It was the people who did Bravely Default, right?
Okay.
It's not the I Am Setsuna team. They are working on another JRPG, but it has not been
announced. It's hard for me to get excited about JRPGs, but it's got a unique art style, and I can see the appeal.
There is a demo out, right? Like, of this game,
I think that was launched right after the Nintendo Direct.
Yeah, I should really pick that up and check it out. To be honest with you, I've seen a lot of people who I would consider fairly seasoned in RPG playing, and I tend to trust their taste, seeming very excited about it.
Okay. So RPG fans got something to look forward to. Not only there, but also, I guess, with Xenoblade.
Xenoblade Chronicles X, which is getting a really nice pro controller.
Yeah, I saw that. It sort of reminded me of the Splatoon one.
Yeah, I mean, they've just changed the side of the grips. I guess that's probably the options, right? Is it's probably molded in two types of plastic, and so you can change the sides.
And it's got a special edition.
I'm going to have to pre-order because it's me, and then I'll put it on a shelf because I haven't got time to play an 80-hour RPG. To be honest with you, I don't know if I'll get it because I'm still in my head thinking about the idea of not really playing any new games next year and doing Game Boy stuff.
Okay.
Or playing the
Do you
stuff
play Xenoblade Chronicles X?
I have never opened it. Mine is still
I've
sealed.
Played it. You know I've played it.
I have. I've seen you playing it. You quite enjoyed it.
I think it's all right, actually. This one takes it looks like a bit of a different aesthetic, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
More fantasy than it's sci-fi, perhaps.
It also feels a bit more JRPG trope than I would like.
The other one, Chronicles X... wasn't so...
Reminded me very much of Phantasy Star Online, which is the thing I liked about it.
That's a good comparison,
incidentally, sidebar, we don't really have to talk about it because it was in the Japanese Direct. PSO 2 is coming to the Switch in Japan. So I'm going to fucking download that, son.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why don't they do a 3? Isn't there a 3?
No, there isn't. It's just 2.
But there is a 3. Doesn't a 3 exist?
The Episode 3 exists, which was called Phantasy Star Episode 3, and it was a card battling game, if you remember correctly.
I thought they did another one, but it was like on Vita or something.
That's Phantasy Star 2. Because Phantasy Star that was released on the GameCube, Xbox, and PlayStation 2 is called Phantasy Star Episode 2. They just re-released the first game.
It's called Episodes 1 and 2.
Yes, it is. But you know what I mean?
Like, I got it on the GameCube.
Yeah, they added the extra bits to it.
And that on the GameCube version is the one to get because it's got split screen.
It has, yeah. Split screen multiplayer, which is how I played most of Phantasy Star Online.
Yeah, very fun.
And then I got the modem with my 56K dial-up and then I played a load of that. Memories!
Cool. Yeah. I've seen they've announced this Mario Nintendo Switch console.
Yes,
right?
With the red controllers.
With the red controllers. Oh, it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted something a bit more exciting than that.
Yeah.
Also, it comes with a download code for the game as opposed to a physical one.
They've been doing that for a while, though, I think.
Yeah.
The Switch ones.
I mean, it's the same as my Wii U. I have Wind Waker saved on my Wii U, which is fine. It doesn't bother me, but it's taking up valuable space. That's the only thing that does bother me about that.
Did we talk about the nonsense that is around the whole, hey, even though you've got cartridges, which should mean you can press your game onto a cartridge, some games are now getting released as internet connection required.
Really?
Because they're not putting the full game on the cartridge.
Oh, no. Don't like the sound of that.
Yeah, so NBA 2K... 18 is the first game to do this, where the whole game isn't on this cartridge. And apparently it's because they are trying to up their profit margin. Apparently Nintendo offers a range of sizes in this cartridge, and they've opted for the smaller one, saying, well, fuck them, they can pay for an SD card.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
If you need that extra space, how much space has the Switch got on it as standard?
Switch has got 32 gig, I think.
It was always a concern, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when they announced the Switch, how small it's... But you can upgrade it up to...
You can put like almost a terabyte in it it's not really an issue. And those cards are super cheap. Like, people have complained about this, and I'm kind of like, man, fuck you guys. Like, you're probably saving about like 2 or 3 quid a unit on this. And admittedly, when you multiply that by a good couple of thousand, that's a lot of money. At the same time, it's just like, how many people are going to buy this for Christmas, not have an SD card big enough to fit the game on, or they're going to have installed other things, and then they won't be able to play this game? Mm-hmm. Resident Evil Revelations, apparently the same deal. They has Resident Evil Revelations 1 is on the cart, then you have to download the second one, because they're releasing both as a connection. And I don't like the trend of that.
No, I don't like that either.
Like, I had a conversation in work, the same chap I was talking about Counter-Strike with, about how... Next generation, if the PS5 is the way the PS5 is probably going to be, I would probably just get a nice PC at that point. Because
you're
more
worried
and
about
more,
this no physical copies thing.
No, more and more, like.
Because that won't happen.
Doesn't,
that can't happen.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because none of those discs I have on that shelf are the game I'm playing anymore.
Oh, yes, sure, because they get upgraded so much.
Yeah, which is what I liked about the Switch. And even though you have patches, you have the ability to patch.
We started on Wii U was patched, you know. Games
patched, and I'm fine with patches. Yeah. Like, patches are okay.
Yeah.
But I don't want, like, you know, No Man's Sky situations where if I played that game without an internet connection, that would not be the same game that it was when I played it, and now definitely not the one where it is today.
Sure.
And in which case, I'm just like, well, if that's the case, I'll just get a PC, because that's what I've always expected of PC games. But this is an old man way shouting at clouds conversation, I think. But it's a really shitty thing. Like, I would expect there to be the game you pay for on that cartridge. Otherwise, there's no point in you buying that cartridge. Why not just push digital downloads? There's a bigger profit margin anyway. I assume there's something about having it on shelf when there's not that many games on shelf, yada, yada, yada. Still doesn't make any sense to me, though.
You have to take into account that you can't rely solely on internet connection. You know,
the annoying thing is, I work in a big company, so I'm arguing myself out because I can see the decisions. You know, like, I see why this makes perfect sense. If you're EA, I can't really gripe them on it, but it just
can't presume everyone's going to have good and consistent internet access. So until you know,
no, you can't.
I don't think that will ever happen. I think there'll be certain places where internet is still hard to get, and you can't.
part of me hates it. Part of me also realizes that this is the world we are living in now, and I should just accept it. But it still rubs me up the wrong way. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
You playing anything else other than Destiny this last week?
No. To be perfectly honest, that's all I really played. I picked it up, like I said, 400 krona in Elgiganten. Should have been 500. For some reason, it was marked as 400, so I got it for 400.
Are you going to get Samus Returns?
I am looking into it. I want the limited edition, but it's probably already sky high.
Yeah. It's a good one, though. It's got a lot of limited nice
edition.
In it.
The only reason I want that limited edition is because the box looks like the Game Boy one. Yeah. Literally the only reason I give a shit.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I wouldn't care.
Mm. I thought you might be interested in that. I'm interested in Monster Hunter Stories.
I am too.
That's probably... You know, you'd think I'd really want Marvel's Capcom Infinite, but actually, I don't know. I'm not excited about it, which is strange, because I'm into fighting games. I just have a lot of fighting games. I mean, I'm still playing Tekken, and I just don't feel the need for it. I got Street Fighter V still, dropping in out of that.
I was thinking about this the other day. I really would like to pick up Street Fighter V.
Mm.
So it's one of those things I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep a lookout for Street Fighter V.
It's the one I've been playing, you know, if I want to play some Street Fighter, but in 5 at the minute.
Yeah.
It's good.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I've been playing Obliteracers, which I mentioned on last week's podcast.
I did
a little video on it. If you head over to Blast Process YouTube channel, then you can check out a Tom Plays of that.
You showed it to me not moments ago, and I saw it.
So that is a great kart racer type game with some elements of Micro Machines in there. In fact, it succeeds in those Micro Machines elements more so than the latest Micro Machines game does, which doesn't have same screen multiplayer, which is just madness to begin with.
I would agree with you.
It's quite a unique racer, as it's got lots of different modes. As you play through the single player, you're not always doing the same type of race. There's some variations on the races. Some are very chaotic, where you've got a lot on screen at one time. It's based a lot around the weapons pickups. Where others are more strategic, so there's a great variety to the gameplay. When you've got less players on the screen, and then some more strategic gameplay does come into effect with it.
Yeah.
It looks really nice as well, you know, for a game that isn't a AAA title either. It's visually very nice. And nice design work, nice characters as well. It's a lot of fun. It's pretty easy to pick up and play. It's going to be a little bit... Some of the modes are going to be a little bit fast for most, I think, because, it gets very chaotic. But you do get used to it after a while.
Yeah. It looked very chaotic. I do like... The fact that the weapon pickups are clearly, like, there. You can see what weapon you're going for, and that kind of makes it more interesting to try and swerve for that thing.
The game does a lot to actually also help you see which car you are.
Yeah.
At the start of the races, you know, you might not necessarily see, because there's some similarities. If you twiddle your stick, then it flashes which one you are.
Yeah.
And you have to keep track of it. But yeah, you'll get used to that. There's different vehicles. Some have tracks, some are floating. The floating vehicles are harder to drive than the track vehicles. Yeah. I stick with the track ones. There's also weather conditions as well that change up the gameplay.
Yeah, I saw you playing on a nice track.
Lots of different elements to this game that make it very enjoyable.
The 4-player looked a lot more enjoyable to me than the... Was it 8-player total?
Oh, yeah. I think if you had like just 4-player... you know, you had 3 other friends over, then that's a very good multiplayer party game. And nice it's got a single player, because, again, Micro Machines doesn't have a single player. And I think that Micro Machines game, the biggest travesty in a long time. It really gets me angry.
Who made that Micro Machines game?
I think Just Add Water made it.
Who are they?
They did the remake of Abe's Odyssey.
Oh, really? That's a shame.
So they were tasked with doing this, and... I guess somewhere in the design, they decided to leave things out.
Well,
publisher decided.
They probably didn't. Their
Code
publisher, Codemasters, said, actually, you have this much money, make us a Micro Machines game.
They made a very pretty looking game, which is just very short on options and has some really weird omissions.
Yeah.
Which don't make any sense. And of course, the game's 20 quid. I got Obliteracers for $3.99 in a sale. I'm not sure how much it usually is. But I'd say if it was like 12 quid or something, it's still worth that much.
Well, I mean, you know, based on your purchase of, whatchamacallit, Micro Machines, how much did you pay for that?
20.
then yeah, I would say this seems to have a lot more going on. Seems like a very good game. Also, it's got a lot of things that are missing from Micro Machines, namely couch co-op multiplayer and a fucking story.
Yes. Well, so, it wasn't a story. It's a career mode.
It's a career mode, but still.
But career mode, it's got a lot of variety in it, too.
At least you can play it by yourself.
You can. You can play it by yourself, which is good. Nice. And it's a hard game to put down, so I would recommend that. Another good racer is Sledstorm, which you found for me over in Aarhus the other week. This is a game I'd long been wanting to pick up. It's well worth the 50 kroner I paid for it.
Yeah.
It's a very solid snowmobile racing game. And I don't know how many snowmobile racing games there are on PS1, but this particular one, it's very tight. It's got a good sort of physics going on in it as well.
Yeah.
Except it's still nice and easy to pick up and play. There aren't a lot of buttons either, which is quite refreshing. Accelerate and hard turn left and hard turn right.
You really need in a racing game.
It could mean, without all the bells and whistles of modern races.
Yeah.
But it does have Rob Zombie's Dragula on the soundtrack.
As all good racing games should.
As well as some other similar sounding rock, electro kind of rock stuff as well on it. Rob Zombie's obviously a standout name on the soundtrack. But
yeah.
It's always nice to have a bit of licensed music, and you sort of expect that from an EA game as well.
You realise there is a Sled Storm on the PS2.
No, actually.
There is a Sled Storm on the That's PS2. Nice. There's also another game called SXR on the PS2. Mm. You have played Ski-Doo Challenge.
Ski-Doo Challenge is very good. If you want a snowmobile game for PS3, then I could recommend that game.
I'm sure at some point...
It's a bit of a niche market, I suppose.
I have forced you to play a terrible snow game by Phoenix, but I cannot find it. Do you also know that Ski-Doo Snow X Racing is also on the PS2? If you want a snow racing game, I guess the PS2 is the place to get it. If not, get a Sledstorm for the PS1. I was 90% sure I'd made you play one. I mean, let's be honest. Even if I had forced you to play one, it would not be as good as Extreme Quads. Phone drop.
Do you know what was weird? Playing Sledstorm made me think of Extreme Squads. Extreme Quads, should I say. Albeit, obviously, it handles a lot better and is a lot better of a game.
What, it's not like you're controlling a giant cube?
But it's got a lot of similar sort of mechanics and tracks. Because I was playing sort of the... you can play open tracks, or you can, like 1080, for instance. Mm-hmm. Or you can play the sort of ones with jumps. I don't know what they're called. Courses,
So, like... Yeah, I guess courses.
Like the courses were in Extreme Quads, you have these little jumps and stuff.
Like in Extreme Quads, if you go over a ramp and not enough speed, does your quad land face down and block the path of every other quad?
No, but you do actually have to have enough speed to get up ramps and things.
Okay.
Of course, the physics are very solid.
That sounds nice. Mm. Okay.
It's fun. It's good, simple, well-made fun.
Tom Parry, back a box quote. Exactly what you want, 50 krona.
I tell you another racing game that's really good that you can get free now on Xbox Live Gold.
Tell me about it, Tom.
If you have it. It's a classic. It's Hydro Thunder. The Hydro Thunder Hurricane game.
I need to Google this because the name rings a bell, but I don't remember
Hydro Thunder. Is a boat, extreme, very arcade-style boat racing game.
Yes, I do remember
this. Which was on the Dreamcast. I think there's an N64.
There
version
is also
as
a
well.
PlayStation 1 version.
Fantastic, fun game. This is like a sequel to it. It's got brand new tracks, a few new boats.
Is it called Hydro Thunder Hurricane?
If you've got Xbox Live Gold membership, just download it. It's a fantastically fun, again, very well made. Everything's spot on, arcade style racing game.
Their logo looks a little bit too much like the Hot Wheels logo for my liking. I don't know why. It's just the colours. It doesn't actually look like it.
You can also race as a rubber duck.
Good. Rubber duck racing is what I'm all about.
There's great tracks, very creative tracks. There's like aliens on one of the tracks and flying saucers. And it's very Midway arcade style.
Yes.
Of course, the original game was developed by Midway. I don't know I don't think the sequel is. It's probably
Midway was probably long gone by the time this came out.
Yeah, I would assume. Originally released on the 360, still is a good-looking game today. Of course, it's not quite Xbox One standards, but it's the water, is it? Very nice.
Very nice water.
Very nice water.
I remember there was a time and a place where things like Star Fox Adventures came out. I was like, man, look at that water. Wow, look at that. That's amazing. Now you just take it for granted.
Yeah, well, that's... Although some games apparently still don't have very good water.
Nope. They are...
Some people can't get it right. Some developers really struggle with water still.
From what I understand of people I went to university with and were studying games design, and I could be talking out of my ass, water and fire are very demanding on your memory. And if you think about memory is the equivalent of...
Oh, we all know this because of Amazing Spider-Man. Yes. How the Wii version doesn't actually have any proper fire.
Yes, because it requires too much memory.
Yeah, the Wii U version does.
And memory is like your energy as a person, you know, your time. Memory takes a lot of the things in the background and at the cost of a lot of functions sometimes. So if you're running high on memory, then it's better to lose these things.
I remember a GoldenEye would slow down when there was explosions.
Yep, because of the particle effects, probably.
Yeah. God, it really did slow down, didn't it, GoldenEye, when there was the explosion?
Hydro Thunder Hurricane, Riptide GP, is by a studio called Vector Unit.
They did a grand job.
And from the looks of things, that is probably their only game. Yeah, they did Hydro Thunder. They did a game called Riptide GP for phones.
Oh.
And yeah, they seem to then have... They did a game called Beach Buggy Racing.
Beach Buggy Racing.
And they also did a game for the PS4 called Riptide GP Renegade.
No, oh, but that's quite good then.
If that's any good, that's check it out, Tom Parry. Probably quite good. Probably quite
if
good.
If it's
Tom
like,
Parry back a box.
You know, if it's like Hydro Thunder, then it's probably quite good. Well, so I've raced on many different surfaces this week.
Yeah.
Water, snow, and obliterators.
Unfortunately, though, you've not had a journey in space. But that's how it goes.
Actually, no, I haven't this week had a space journey. I had a nice Monster Hunter journey.
That's a shame. Hey, Tom Parry, I'm going to blow your mind, you. Mm. Riptide Racing very much looks like you're racing on jet skis.
Oh,
some might
like
say,
race.
Tom Parry, it looks awfully like Wave Race.
Yeah.
But some might say they look a little bit like motorbikes and that it could also.
I mean, look at that. What does the water look like? I'm looking at a screenshot.
I mean, if they got their water right in one game, I'm guessing they can travel over that tech. But it is an iPhone game as well, so take it with a pinch of salt.
But it said it's on PS4.
It is. That's not the PS4 one.
Okay. Have you bought anything this week, man?
I have been a good boy. I picked up one thing and one thing only, and I wouldn't have even bought that had it not been for... I mentioned it, right? I picked up that copy of Tumble Pop. I think I mentioned this last week.
Yeah, it's over there.
Yeah, it is. It's good. It's got a UK label. It works. It's an authentic cart. Happy boy.
That makes you happy, yeah.
It does. Sometimes I like to put it under my pillow while I sleep, just so I know it's close to me.
Oh.
No, I haven't bought anything. I did pick up a purchase for...
Pick up a purchase
for our good friend, the Retro Hunter, Ali, a copy of X-Zone for the Super Nintendo, but I actually didn't pay for that.
Which has the greatest blurb on the back ever. Can you read it to us?
I can. While you tell us what you bought, I will go and get that game.
I bought... I'm going to have to look up the name of what I bought. Because fighting game that was only released in America and Japan for the original Xbox. Kakuto Chojin, I think it was, wasn't it? Kakuto Chojin?
I believe so. I remember it being a mouthful.
I remember reading about this game a while ago and hearing it wasn't great.
It looks a lot like it's ripping off Dead or Alive, if I'm being totally honest.
Well, I think it's got a little bit of the Mortal Kombat-like violence to it. Kakuto Chojin, now, you know, I'm hoping this will work on my modded original Xbox. We'll have to wait and see. It's a bit of a gamble. It only cost me £10. But it's a game, you know, as I collect fighting games, I've wanted to have this one for a while. So I picked that one up. And I'm just checking now on my little eBay, because usually that's where I get the games from. Here.
While you're looking at that, I will read you the back of
Wii Sports Club.
Oh, yeah, for the Wii U. You did.
So I'm nearing the end of my Wii U collection. I still want to get Tank. There's a couple of other things which would be nice to have on Wii. Maybe Deus Ex. You know, that's meant to be the best version of that game, isn't it? I think it's a director's cut.
Yes,
but you also
is.
Get that on other consoles. I don't know what the version Watch Dogs is like, but I'm intrigued.
I'm sure it'll be all right.
Yeah, with the gamepad. I heard the gamepad's got some good integration.
Tropical Freeze and Kirby's Rainbow
You want those
Curse two. Is the only one I want now, I think. for that console.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you've
I would
got Darksiders Warmastered Edition.
Yes,
you?
I have. Yeah. I would also probably pick up that Paper Mario game.
Oh, yeah,
even
Color
though
Splash.
Not
yeah.
that great.
It's colourful.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
Go on, read us no. that.
X-Zone TM, published by Kemco. And imported by the Burg Sala, which is the company that imported a lot of old Super Nintendo games.
Oh.
They're a Swedish company. So if you look at any Scandinavian game, they usually have Burg Sala on the back.
Mm.
But also, they import a lot of games that you'll find in the UK every
Sounds
now and
like
again.
They're trying to say Iceberg Salad.
It is, yeah. That's what it is. X-Zone TM. Exterminator. Wanted for extremely risky
and
business.
Can we point out that everything is written with an X as opposed to an EX?
An X and a dash,
an
yes.
X and a dash, yeah.
It is full of puns. I took a picture to send to Ali because Tom Parry was elated with that Xbox.
Very surprised.
Quick, get that blaster off your shoulder and zero on your target with the first Nintendo scope game using on-screen crosshair sights. Should mention, this is a game for the Super Scope. The nation's mainframe biocomputer wants to exterminate Earth. Your mission, should you accept it, infiltrate the extra defenses, explode the overseer drones and moles that want to make you extinct, and x-ray the buggy bio brain with a couple of nuclear weapons. It's an explosive situation that can only be survived by a truly excellent person. I made that last bit up. It actually says it's an explosive situation that the only truly excellent can survive. But I fubbed it at the last moment. I got to the finish line and I couldn't deliver.
You. I wish at this point I could get the cover of Zool for the Mega Drive and read you the blurb off that particular game.
I bet that's a joy. Is it just like, buy Chupa Chups. Sweets
no.
are really nice, kids. Love them. Love them. Isn't Zool cool?
That's a low resolution
Better
image.
Than Fido Dido, I reckon. And they'd be wrong.
It kind of sells it as about the greatest game ever made.
Really?
And, oh, I can't find a good scan of the box online, but it's one to look up if you can find it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's something I forgot about that I actually played the other week and thought was pretty amazing. Was,
right.
Rondo of Blood for the PC Engine.
Yeah.
Which I put up a video on Blast Process YouTube channel of the first level.
Yeah.
Very impressed with all the CD quality sound mm-hmm. and such. And really great Castlevania game that you should definitely check out. And it's available, I got it on the Virtual Console, so
yeah.
go and pick it up there. In fact, that old Castlevania game, the arcade game called Haunted Castle, is also now available to download on the PS4.
Oh, interesting.
Which I thought was cool, because that's not been... It's an arcade game. It's cool that that company, I forgot what they're called, have been releasing arcade games.
Hamster.
Hamster, yeah. So these games, which, you know, you might never have played before, because they were only in the arcades, becoming available for download now.
That's good.
They also do the Neo Geo... home games as well, don't they?
I've got the description of Zool for you as well.
That's
what I was feverish.
Oh, how did you find it?
Because Game FAQs tends to put the back of box blurb on their thing.
Is it the same as I remember it?
All right, let's see. Once every year,
yep,
the games world is rocked by a game so stunning, so fast, so colourful, so big, so demanding, so mega, so awesome, so varied, so incredible,
yep.
and so full of fabulous features and unexpected treats that everybody just looks at and says, that's it. This year, Zool, the ninja from the nth dimension, is definitely
it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not the clown.
No.
Which, by the way, that movie's pretty good.
I really want to see that.
You should. Mm. It is very much Stranger Things.
Yeah, I think it's a good adventure film, more so than maybe a horror film. Though
yes.
It does have some horror elements.
It does have some horror elements. Mm. Not very scary, though.
No,
gory
I heard
bits.
It's not meant to be scary, but...
Yeah, but I was told, like, oh, man, I couldn't sleep for weeks after watching it, and then I went to watch it, I was like, yeah.
You know, the thing I think about this clown thing...
Yes.
I think this new It doesn't look as scary because he's being made up to look like Scary Clown.
Yes.
Whereas if it was just a regular clown being sinister and doing sinister things, then that's more scary. Like perhaps the Tim Curry version was.
Yes.
Because he just looks like a regular clown.
Yes.
Whereas this guy... looks like Scary Clown.
I would also argue that perhaps our expectations of what really scares us have moved beyond simply clowns.
Well, some people it is a genuine fear, isn't it?
I understand. No. I totally get people being afraid of clowns, but yeah, this is another topic for another time.
Stop that clowning around.
Stop that clowning around. Yeah, that. If you have any other ideas of beautiful box blurbs,
yes, that we beautiful could box blurbs. That's great alliteration, Matthew.
Thank you very much. I try my best. It's after reading that Exxon box, it really inspired me.
I thought it was excellent. It was a fun box to examine.
I liked it. I think it was an extra thing that we should do on this podcast every now and again.
Maybe you can name this podcast
Excelsior. Yeah, I probably will. I probably will call it Excelsior now that you've brought that up. Yeah, if you know of any other amazing boxes, I'm sure there are a few on my shelf, such as Dino City for the Super Nintendo. That's probably got a really good blurb on the back of it as well.
I also then let us know game.
In a variety of places, such as at TMAcast on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAttack, and on blastprocess.com's comments, or on the comments of TomAttack.com/podcast. Now, if you have liked listening to this audio program, I think you should tell other people that they can do the same in a variety of places, such as in iTunes and Stitcher, where you can give us a cheeky rate and subscribe. You can also do it on the Blast Process YouTube channel, where there is a video up. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that was about. Clearly, I'm getting silly.
Did you like my thumbnail for the last podcast? Did you see it?
I saw it, but I can't remember what it was, because my parents were here.
You had
Like upside down Yakuza people, right?
Kiryu, what's his name?
Kiryu is Kiryu up, and then the up. Legs of Majima going out with the thumbnail. You know, I do remember.
Yeah,
it's all right. It's good. It's good work, Tom. I didn't give you much to go off of with that title.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. If you enjoy the podcast, do all those things. And until next week, where we will be back, we will actually be here for a third consecutive week. You can...
Well, let's hope so.
Well, fingers crossed. Yeah, I mean, you know, North Korea situation's not looking great, but we'll see. We'll try our best.
It's all talk.
Exactly. I'm sure it is. Mm-hmm. Until then, though, Tom, what do we tell them?
A game on.
You're damn right, we're game on.